When it comes to the spiritual life, so one of our priorities is cultivating the spiritual life, it's extremely important that we have some kind of a grasp and understanding of what the spiritual life is. Do we have an image, an understanding, something that we can picture when it comes to the spiritual life? Otherwise, it's just something really abstract, ethereal, I guess that's the word, that's out there, right? But no way to connect with it. It's beyond anything that I can know. Well, the incarnation, Jesus, you know, God becoming flesh, means that the spiritual life looks like something. So what if we want to have a spiritual life, what are we getting into? Well, the first point, the first consideration is, what is the soul? We all are very familiar with the word soul. But how would we define or describe the soul? How would we paint the soul? Probably as early as first or second grade, our Catholic school teacher or our parents, or I was in CCD, that was before PSR. I didn't go to a Catholic school, so that's probably why I'm so messed up. But I remember in CCD class, I can still remember this, you know, in the classes I'm anticipating making my first Holy Communion, of the teacher drawing a big circle on the chalkboard. Yep, chalkboard. And that circle was the soul. That's pretty attractive. I want to get into that, okay? And then the next part of the lesson was this. Here's your soul. It's this big circle. And then here's sin. Venial sins are these little black dots all over in your circle, okay? And that means your soul is sick. And mortal sin, and she took a black, you know, she took scribble in and filled in the circle, was a complete darkening of the soul. And then your soul was dead, and you needed to go to confession. So that's the framework that I came away with in regards to understanding the invisible soul. So we all have an image that we at least were introduced to when it came to the spiritual life. But are there better images for the soul? Is there more that can engage our imagination? Because we've got to have the visible in order to go to the invisible. This is the sacramental principle and idea. Through outward signs, we encounter the invisible God. So all of this stuff is very important. How would you define the soul? How would you picture the soul? Do you have something in your mind? Or is it just something out there, abstract? If it's out there abstract, or it's elementary in the way that it looks, it's going to really compromise our spiritual life. Because there's so much more that God wants and has for us when it comes to the spiritual life, the interior life. And the gospel today, John chapter 14, verse 2, became the foundation or starting point for Teresa of Avila, doctor of the church, only 30-some doctors of the church, to write her spiritual classic, The Interior Castle. So this is volume 2 of her compiled works. There's 3 of her works in here. But her most famous work is The Interior Castle. And it's basically the journey of the soul, the interior journey. And so she sets it up like this, because the sisters have been asking her, she's in a convent, obviously, the sisters have been asking her to write down her thoughts and ideas so maybe her counsels could help them in their own prayer life and spiritual life. So she begins by praying, "Oh, Lord, help me. I don't even know how to begin." And what comes to her is verse 2 of chapter 14 of John. "In my Father's house there are many, many dwelling places." And so she uses the image of a castle for the soul. She says that the soul, imagine, is a castle made of diamonds, and it has many dwelling places in it, many rooms, and that we are to go from room to room to room, deeper and deeper into the castle. And who lives in a castle in St. Teresa of Avila's time? A king, right? And so what does Jesus say? In my Father's house, in my Father's house, in his castle, in the soul lives the Heavenly Father. That he is deep within. And so the entirety of the spiritual life is a journey into the soul so that one moves into the closest, into the most interior parts where the king reigns on his throne. And so, okay, so think about that. Now, we're not that familiar with castles, and maybe we could use a different image, but this can help us to reimagine the soul so as to lead us to a deeper spiritual life rather than just this kind of superficial and understanding of spirituality and prayer. Because what she's saying corresponds exactly with St. Augustine. When he talks about the soul, he says, the soul is more beautiful, more wonderful, more delightful than any place that you might visit in the world. He talks about how you could go all over the world, see these beautiful vistas and mountains and oceans, but it doesn't even compare with the delights of the inner world. All right? So this is exciting stuff. This is a great opportunity. And what the devil wants to do is to keep us away from this knowledge, keep us outside the castle, you might say. It's kind of like, you have a beautiful house and you never go inside. You just stay on the lawn, all right? So where do we go from? How do we enter into this castle? And she speaks to that. Well, that doesn't even make sense. If your soul is the castle, you're already there. Well, she makes the remark, it's kind of like having a beautiful house. You're there, you're on the territory, but you're never actually in the house or in the castle itself. So the way to enter in to the castle is through prayer and reflection. So this is really interesting. It's not just prayer that gets you in, starts moving you into the castle, into the first dwelling places, the first rooms of the castle. It's prayer and consideration. Then she goes in to say, I'm not talking here about vocal prayer, the memorized prayers that we have, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, okay? All of those prayers that we memorized when we were young and that we still use. She says she's not comparing that with, mental prayer, like taking the scriptures and reflecting upon them and applying them to your life. That's mental prayer, applying your mind to a particular teaching or the Word of God. She says both of them are prayer as long as consideration or reflection contextualizes it, that is a part of it. And so what is consideration? What is prayer? She uses these words, goes back and forth, but they basically mean the same thing, is that reflection is being aware of who you are speaking to, okay, God the Almighty Father, and who is doing the speaking, that I'm completely dependent upon the Father. I was thinking about an example with my parents, and sometimes back talking to my mom and my dad saying, don't talk to your mom like that. And so what was he saying? He said, do you know who you're talking to? You're not respecting her as your mother, right? So what St. Teresa of Avila is saying is like, we talk to God oftentimes like he's not even there or he's a slave, our slave, right? So what we can do is we can make considerations or reflections when we start to pray, when we go to prayer, say, I'm going to go pray the rosary. And the first thing that I do is I do some kind of preparations in my prayer. I call to mind who I'm talking to. God, the Almighty Father, the Creator, the Loving Father, and who I am, that every breath that I breathe depends upon God. Take my breath, I return to clay, right? So there's active things that we can do in this reflection and consideration to enter into prayer, which allows us to go into the first rooms of the castle. Now, is that going to be enough? No, because your prayer is going to go very dry if that's all involved. This is why the Holy Spirit was sent. You see, the Holy Spirit offers us what? Certain gifts. Those gifts are understanding and knowledge. So they're infused within us. When we approach God, engaging our own mind, he inspires our mind and our heart with deeper knowledge of who God is and who we are. So as we could get to the point of like St. Catherine of Siena when the Lord's speaking to her and he says, "Daughter, do you know who I am and who you are?" This was Bishop Jakel's favorite line from St. Catherine of Siena. "You are she who is not, I am he who is. I am nothing, you are everything." And so the Holy Spirit gives us this, not just this head knowledge, but this deep heartfelt knowledge of who we are speaking to and who we are. So this is the doorway into the castle. Now, each of those dwelling places, so she says there's 12 dwelling, or seven dwelling places. The deepest of the seventh of those dwelling places is where the king reigns on his throne. So the spiritual journey is a goal. The goal is to move all the way into the castle, to the room where the king dwells, where the most intimate inner exchanges occur. And she said, so you might be thinking, okay, she's using all of this imagery, mental imagery that we can picture, so that we can go through from what we know to what's invisible, what can't be known through images, right, and through what we see. So she says, like, if you're at Mass every Sunday, you're in the castle, all right? So lots of people are in the first rooms, but she says each of the rooms has certain characteristics, certain graces, certain temptations. So a person who starts entering in through prayer, the door of prayer and reflection, hits the first room. And in that room, the person characteristics of the person are they want to serve God, they do good things, but they're consumed with the things of the world yet. That's where all of their attention is. So I can remember on the farm and going to Mass, and you know the farmers coming out immediately after Mass, and it was basically farming on the brain, okay? So I could guarantee that, well, and my dad would have meant that too, that at Mass, when we were growing up, what was on his mind were the cattle and the hogs and what he was going to be doing next. He very faithful, wanted to serve the Lord, but very taken with, you know, the work and the business of life. And so there's not really harm in that, but what St. Teresa of Avila says is that that person, they would be open to tasting the delights of the Lord inside the castle, but their commitments and their concerns don't allow them to relish these things. So another example would be sports. Sports is a good thing, but you get so involved that it kind of takes over your mind. And these people are like, they're faithful, but there's not much room or not much time for these deeper considerations. You see what I'm saying? So I'm just giving you a taste, a hint of the opportunity here. And what I would invite you to do this week is to reflect upon your own life and what your picture of the soul is. What's your image of the soul? And maybe reconsider reimagining what the soul is. That it is the dwelling place of the Father, and it's like a castle. Maybe you could have even a different image. That's okay. But using that image to have a more dynamic, exciting, true understanding of the wonder of the soul, of how we're made in the image of God. And you can get online, in fact, and check out The Interior Castle from St. Teresa of Avila. Read that first chapter about the first dwelling places. You're going to find things that resonate with you and that connect with you. And you're going to find her to kind of be a real guide as you're going through the different rooms to hit the dwelling place. So a world of opportunity. When we talk about our parish priority plan and cultivating the spiritual life, we're talking about something that is awesome, something delightful, an abundant life that most people sadly are not even aware of. And what the evil spirit is continuously trying to keep us ignorant of.